Podcast, the show that brings you tidbits from all aspects of the soccer world. Sometimes serious, sometimes zany, always opinionated. Now, here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
I am Chad Smith. He is Corey Chatelain. Together, we are the 2DAP Yanks. And this is our League Cup Final special, Corey.
Yeah, everybody's crazy about the Cups. And you know my running joke that it's amusing to me that people care about the League Cup nowadays.
That's true. So we'll get into some of that talk maybe. But we're going to spend the next 20 to 30 minutes here previewing Chelsea and Tottenham playing at the mighty Wembley this coming Sunday. So let's fire up the cup crowd, and let's get going.
Yeah, I'm just always disappointed whenever I hear Wembley that the Fraggle Wembley is not somehow the mascot of that stadium.
Ooh, that's a good point. I've never thought of that and made that connection, but now it does. As a child of the 80s,
yes,
Fraggle Rock is very, very fond memories for me.
Yeah, I mean, you could have Wembley running around in a Three Lions kit. Well, just saying, okay. You're sitting on a gold mine, Wembley.
All right, let's talk some history. The League Cup has history, of course. Sir, just off the top of your head, I'm interested. I didn't know the answer to this question before I did the research. Do you know when the League Cup started?
I believe it was in the 30s.
You are wrong.
Oh.
The very first League Cup was held in 1961.
Oh, see. All right. That was going to be my second guess. No lie. I mean, not 61, but the 60s.
The 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the League Cup was started. The very first one was in 1961, and that was won by Aston Villa against Rotherham United. And back in the day, it was a two-legged affair played at the home stadiums. And actually, they did that for a while. Looking at this chart here, they played the first six League Cups home and away ties before moving it to Wembley in 1967.
Yeah, I imagine that was, obviously that was in the days before the long European campaigns, and a lot of the teams, you know, there was only two cup competitions at the time. If clubs weren't in Europe, obviously they weren't playing anything other than the domestic cups. So I imagine, you know, obviously there wasn't the proverbial match congestion that you deal with today.
Oh, it's true. No, yeah. All right. Now looking at the two clubs who are contesting this final, Chelsea and Tottenham. Chelsea has made it to the League Cup final six times, and they have won four of those opportunities, including 1965. Then they went clear to 1998 before they won again, and then they won two in this last decade, 2005 and 2007. They lost in 1972, and they lost in 2008 as well, and that 08 one is interesting because they lost to Tottenham. In fact, in 2008. So Chelsea, 4-2 with a loss to Tottenham. Tottenham has made it to the League Cup final seven times. They are 4-3. They have won in 1971, 1973, 1999, and 2008, and lost affairs in 82, 2002, and 2009.
That 8 Chelsea team. Was that the team that was managed by Avram Grant? Do we know offhand?
I do not know.
Yeah, it's not important. I was just going to make a joke of why that's why y'all won if it was.
Okay. Well, I don't find that funny, and neither would our listeners. So, last little piece of League Cup history here, boys and girls. This is also very interesting. So as I just told you, both Chelsea and Tottenham have four League Cup trophies. And the winner of this match will now become tied for the second most League Cup trophies in history in second place with five. which is three behind the first place club. So can you, off the top of your head, can you, any guesses on who's number one and number two heading into this weekend?
It's either, no, I'm going to go with Villa.
As number one?
Yes.
You're close. They're number two. So Villa has five. So whoever wins this League Cup will be tied with Villa. And the number one club is one of your favorites, and that would be Liverpool with eight.
Oh, good for them.
So there you go. So Liverpool, eight. Aston Villa, five. And whoever wins this weekend will join Aston Villa. Joint second, as they like to say, well, in jolly old England.
Yeah, I'll say if Liverpool's won eight of these, I'm surprised so many people dismissed this cup in the 90s, since everybody seemed like they used to be Liverpool fans back in the day, or meaning in the media.
Yeah, so Liverpool has eight, and I can say with my research as well that there is no truth to the rumor that Alabama has actually claimed a couple League Cup titles as well.
Oh, that's only because they don't know this thing exists.
All right.
I guarantee if they knew they'd exist, they'd claim at least two of them.
All right, now let's look a little bit closer at these two clubs, Chelsea and Tottenham, and their head-to-head matchups. And it's really hard to – I don't like to talk about this. I just went through the history because it's interesting. But in terms of the history going to this match, in the last six games – the breakdown is 2-3-1, so two Chelsea wins, three draws, and one Tottenham victory in their last six matches, which have all been in the league in the past 3 years. Just historically, though, Tottenham has struggled against Chelsea, and in the last 15 years, looking through the history today, Tottenham had two separate five-year stretches where they did not beat Chelsea.
Yeah, and going back in further history, before Abramovich and his billions and Mourinho and his tactical nous came along, Chelsea, you and Chelsea used to be kind of similar in the sense that you were basically cup clubs that no decent shot to win the league, and y'all would take y'all's chances in the cups.
Mm-hmm. But I will say that, looking through the history, that yes, before the Abramovich era, Spurs dominated Chelsea in the 90s for the most part, 90 to 96 range. And then Chelsea kind of was dominant from there on, and that kind of coincides with the money, of course.
Yeah, and they had started to turn the corner when they were getting players like Gianfranco Zola and Torreandre Flo and Rude, did Hullet play at Chelsea? Anyway, but players of that ilk, and then obviously they were put over the top when Abramovich came to town.
Okay, so that's enough talk of history, because as they say, history is for dead people, right? Something like that.
Yeah, or it's also for people who like to predict the future, but, either way.
All right, let's get into talking about the match here. And the number one thing that jumps out to me is both these teams, for the most part, use the same formation, kind of have similar philosophies, using that in vogue 4-2-3-1 formation.
Yeah, although I would imagine, Chelsea this year is, as we've talked about on multiple occasions before, they're not quite the bus station that they have been in the past. And they've been, a little more, still the same pragmatic style, but a little more adventurous going Hazard.
Yes. And so just to tell you my proof of the 4-2-3-1, Chelsea has used that formation in all 26 of their league matches so far this year. And Tottenham has used the 4-2-3-1 in 24 of their 26 fixtures. So I would expect both teams to use their preferred lineups. Would you agree? Or, the preferred formation.
Yeah, because I think well, not only the preferred formation, but I think, you know, Mourinho is not going to turn a chance, or, you know, is not going to treat a chance at silverware lightly. And so not only is he going to put out the preferred formation, I think he's going to put out a strong 11, you know, besides Matic, obviously, who will be suspended.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then that brings me to the next two questions on my list, is how much of a full-strength lineup will Chelsea go? Mind you, both Tottenham and Chelsea will play league games on Wednesday. Chelsea faces West Ham, and Tottenham will play Swansea. So it's just, we'll go from the Chelsea point of view here first. How strong of a lineup do you think he'll play in terms of playing what many would consider be his best 11?
Well, I think it'll be pretty much a full-strength 11 other than I think Azpilicueta's hurt, or is he back yet?
I was looking on the physio room, and the only person they listed as injured was John Obi Mikel.
Oh, interesting, since he would be the natural choice to replace Matic. But yeah, so if Azpilicueta is healthy, then I think the only changes you might see to what would be perceived as the first 11 this season is maybe Peter Cech coming in goal for Courtois. And then obviously whoever's going to fill in for Matic since he's suspended. And then if Mikel's hurt, you know, in that holding role, you know, maybe you might see Ramirez come in. But then again, you know, maybe Fabregas, if you're saying everybody's healthy, then maybe Fabregas is going to come in. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to play pretty much their strongest 11 with maybe just Cech coming in.
Okay. No, I would welcome that. It will be interesting to see what Mourinho does, how serious he takes this. So, yeah, and then the obvious other thing is who replaces Matic with Mikel hurt. And, you know, the physio room may not be up to date. And, you know, Chelsea's not especially forthcoming with their injury report. So we've seen over the years, especially at Mourinho clubs, people having, you know, Lazarus-like injury recoveries.
Yeah, and especially in-game injuries where it seems like as they're going off, it's a bad one, and then next match they're miraculously playing.
Mm-hmm. So I would agree that if he's just going to slot someone back into one of them, those two holding spots, it would probably be Ramirez who would have to slot in there. Looking at the roster, I don't really see anybody else unless he really wants to go, you know, full ball attacking, like you said, maybe drop Fabregas back there. But you would still need someone else to partner him. And looking at their roster, without Matic and Mikel, they're a little bit short.
Well, yeah, if Mikel's hurt, then I think Ramirez is going to be the replacement there, because even though Ramirez likes to get a little forward, you know, he's got that, shall we say, industrious side to the game, trying to be nice and, you know, yeah, I'll just put it that way. He's got the industriousness and the, even though he's a small-ish player, he's a physical player. So, yeah, so if Mikel's hurt, that would be my guess on who's going to slot into that Matic role.
Okay. And then one last question. When you're talking about Chelsea's strongest 11...
Unless he puts Cahill there, but I doubt that.
Yeah, I was going to... So, there, I was going to ask that. Now, the young Frenchman, Kurt Zouma, has been playing quite a bit in that back line. Do you think he'll get the nod over Cahill?
Only if he puts Cahill at that holding role, which okay. I think he's played in a couple of matches, but I don't know if in a cup final if I would if Mourinho would put Cahill in that role. But then again, you know, he may very well. So, because Zouma, in my limited, you know, seeing him in the EPL, I saw more of him when he was at Saint Etienne. I don't think I've ever seen him play in that role. So, if he were to play ahead of Cahill, I think it would be because Cahill's moved to that Matic role.
Okay. And looking at the metrics for this season so far, Cahill has made all his appearances at center back. So he has not played any defensive mid so far this season.
Yeah, but I think he played there maybe a handful of times last year, or maybe when he was still at Bolton.
Yeah, he has the ability to do it. So, all right, so you're thinking that Mourinho will opt for experience in the back line, if all possible.
Yeah, because even though it's the lesser of the two cups, it's still a, you know, it's still a trophy, and I think Mourinho is one of those guys that, while he still likes Zuma, obviously, because, you know, he's playing while still only being 21, he's still one of those managers that goes with players that he trusts more, which I think would be, you know, in this case, the experienced players, obviously.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's flip on over to Tottenham, and their situation is a little bit different, and we'll talk about that here. They actually played today, Thursday here, in the Europa League. Were knocked out in a tough tie against Fiorentina, 2-0. So Pochettino, obviously with the cup final coming up, had to rest some players, had to rotate a little bit. And I guess names of note that did not start today that you would expect to see on Sunday include Harry Kane, that striker, but he did come on later in the match. I think he played about the last 30 minutes or so. Kyle Walker came on as a sub as well, so he didn't start. Eric Dyer was on the bench. Fazio played in front of him, and Dyer's been playing there the past couple weeks. And then, yeah, as a center back, because Dyer's a natural center back. And then Danny Rose also, he did not play today. So I think Tottenham has to go full strength, being knocked out of Europe. There's a game on Wednesday for the league, but really, I think once you made it this far, this is a cup final, you got to throw your strongest 11 out there. And I think Tottenham will do that.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if when Kane didn't start today, that's obvious to me. That was the sign that Pochettino was putting his eggs in the basket for Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And Dembélé didn't play or start as well, and he's been starting of late. So he's got some choices there. Looking and thinking about this, the only real wild card in my mind, Corey, is the whole goalkeeping situation. Now, Michel Vorm has played every match of the Capital One League Cup so far. And I don't know, it's a big fire point for fans about who starts in goal. But I think in a cup final, you got to start Lloris, who Hugo Lloris is, you know, without question, at least one of the top three, if not one of the top two, if not the best. You know, he's in the top three for sure, goalkeepers in England right now. So what do you think is going to happen in goal for Tottenham? Do you think they'll play Vorm like he has? Has he earned the chance to play in the cup final because he got him there? Or should the number one keeper get the chance to play in a final?
Yes, I don't know enough about Pochettino to where I would hazard a guess to say that he would switch to playing Lloris, which is what I would do. But I know it has become kind of a trend for certain managers these days to have a, especially in the League Cup, when it's, you know, I don't want to say that you're blowing the competition off, but that, you know, it's obviously just lesser on the scale for clubs. So I know it's a trend for a lot of these clubs to have a cup goalie these days, and then you have your, you know, obviously your guys like Lloris will be your keeper in the league or the bigger competitions. But if I was Pochettino, I would play Lloris, and if Vorm doesn't like it, well, then you'd sell him at the end of the year, because it's clear that Lloris is number one, and if Vorm would stay beyond this year and play second fiddle, then, you know, he would probably be at risk of losing his international place anyway. So to me, it's one of those, if you risk upsetting Vorm, you're really only risking upsetting him for a couple months because you're probably going to sell him or he's going to want to move on at the end of the year anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. It'd be suicidal for Spurs not to start Hugo Lloris in the cup final, but I don't know if no one's really asked him, and I think maybe the media has. Obviously, he's not going to give the answer, so that's the number one wild card in terms of Tottenham. They're going to put out their best starting 10 outfield players. I know that for sure. So it'll be the team news come Sunday, and maybe earlier, maybe they'll announce that Hugo's going to start. That's the only other thing that I can think of.
Yeah, and I'm definitely of the philosophy of in a final, you play your best 11.
Mm-hmm. I would agree, and so would the herd of Spurs fans that I have talked to as well.
Yeah, and if, like I said, if Vorm doesn't like it, well then that would only be, or the only reason for that would be that he somehow sees himself as maybe getting the number one shirt at some point, which if he doesn't realize Lloris isn't the clear number one, well then he's delusional.
Yeah, and Vorm hasn't, kicked up any, hasn't thrown a tantrum or anything about his lack of playing time. Obviously, he knew what he was getting to when he agreed into the transfer to Tottenham over the summer that he was going to be the backup. So who knows what's been said, and it's possible that he was promised when he made the transfer that, hey, League Cup, you're our guy. You could play every League Cup match. And that's what a lot of people are speculating, that maybe that was part of the deal. And if that's part of the deal, then I don't know, but we'll see. So we'll leave that for another day. If if Vorm plays and Tottenham loses because of him, by something that you could directly say, hey, Hugo would have won the game by making, X play, then we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But here's another thing I want to talk to you about here, is the timing of this fixture. The press talked to Pochettino about this, just to get his thoughts. And he didn't complain. He just said it is what it is. But the fact is that, Spurs had to play today in the Europa League on the road in Italy. And Chelsea is going to have 8 days off because they played last Saturday in between the games. So Spurs are coming off a short trip in the Europa League. Chelsea has this long layoff. It's a lot of talk these days, this fairness thing. But is that something that in the future should be considered when setting a cup final match, in your opinion?
For the League Cup, no, because the League Cup, the final's always going to be in February or March, so you're in the midst of fixture congestion. So if you don't like fixture congestion, don't get in other competitions. That's the only solution to that, because they're already jockeying around. This is the time of year where fixtures are already getting jockeyed around because of that and because of TV. So, like I said, I'm not sure how you would get around that unless you're going to start delaying league fixtures, which then, of course, the clubs and that you're playing later on are going to complain. So it's for the FA Cup, I could see, because that's at the end of the year and that's always going to be after the season. But for the League Cup, I don't see how I don't foresee a situation where you're not going to aggravate somebody.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. This is kind of funny. You'll get a laugh out of this. Now, they asked Pochettino, and Pochettino said, it'd be great if we could move it, but we can't, and that's just the way it is. And he's like, and I'm not going to complain about it. But then he added the jab at the end, but if it was the other way around, I can guarantee you that Mourinho would be complaining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now that I don't disagree with, but yeah, what the actual solution would be, like I said, I don't see how you would be able to move that this time of year without upsetting somebody.
All right, now here's another little quick note that I kind of find interesting. Now, usually when teams in England play in Europe, they, on Wednesday, Champions League or Europa League, they'll fly home straight after the game and get home, late at night, midnight, 2 in the morning. But what Spurs opted to do, which was something that many clubs don't do, and I don't know why they don't do this, is Spurs played in Fiorentina. They're spending the night in Italy. They're going to wake up on Friday morning, train in Italy on Friday morning, and then fly back to England Friday afternoon. Which makes a lot more sense than, you know, flying and getting back and just disrupting, you know, your flow. Now, mind you, a flight from England to Italy is only about two and a half hours, which is, just think about that. Here in the U.S., people fly that distance all the time. Sports teams do. So it's not like it's a big trip. So it kind of makes sense to not throw your sleep schedule off, get a good night's sleep, train. It doesn't matter where you train in Italy, and then fly to England that afternoon where you could keep your routine pretty much the same.
Well, yeah, I could tell you why they chose to stay in Italy. The food's better.
Well, that too, yeah.
So they probably just decided to stay the day and say, hey, let's just eat at a really good Italian restaurant.
That's possibly the case as well. Who knows? But that's just something to think about because you don't hear about that very often, and it makes sense because – as I just said, it doesn't really matter where you train, right? As long as you train. And it's not like it's that long of a flight. So it makes a lot of sense. And I've read some articles to where when Newcastle was in Europe, that's what they quoted. Some guy who used to work at Newcastle, that's what they used to do. But I can't remember the last time Newcastle was in Europe. So it must have been a while ago.
Had to be the late 90s.
Maybe. Yeah, so in the late 90s, Newcastle was doing this. So there you go.
But yeah, from a recovery standpoint, just thinking about it offhand, you know, off the top of my head, it seemed like staying at the place overnight would make more sense because that seems like it would fit more naturally into a recovery and a rest cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, there's no sense to disrupt your sleep cycle, get home at 2 in the morning, and then have to go to bed, and then chances are you're probably not going to train that morning because they're going to give you a rest, and then you have to train that afternoon, and it just throws the whole – just like with any sport, and soccer players especially, creatures of habit. So anytime you can stay in your routine, you're going to be more apt to perform better.
Well, yeah, because even if you sleep on the plane, you know, you're still not going to necessarily have that restful sleep. So even though you may be rested, you're not actually rested. And then, like you said, you're not going to train when you get back. So, and even if you do train in the morning, you're not properly rested. So it's not a good training session. So, like I said, just thinking off the top of my head, it definitely seems like it would make more sense to stay in a place where you've played and then fly out the next day, like you said.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if other teams start doing this in the future. All right, one more little piece of note, and then we will give our predictions to wrap up this preview. This is the whore of all whores, Corey. Do you know who the match official is for this?
Is it Clattenburg?
No, worse.
Worse?
It's the worst, yeah. I'm going to tell
Anthony
you this is...
Taylor?
Anthony Taylor! Yes, man. Somehow Anthony Taylor has drawn the final.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he has got to kiss the best ass in England. Because, again, not only does he keep getting EPL fixtures, he's got a freaking cup final after only being an EPL official for 3 years when he's been terrible every year.
He's terrible, yes. And so now I'm, as a Tottenham fan and as a football fan, I guess you should be concerned about this. Now, last time, or the week before Chelsea and Tottenham played on New Year's Day, was the whole Fabregas, you know, dive, slap where he got yellow carded for diving when replay showed that it probably should have been a penalty. And that's when Mourinho started this whole campaign against Chelsea nonsense. And in that situation, Anthony Taylor actually apologized to Mourinho after the match, which I've never even heard of that. So this is very odd that Anthony Taylor apologized to him. Mourinho's back on the warpath again against the media and the referees complaining about the campaign and what have you, saying, you know, we don't get any calls, blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, when he's ranked this up again, I was dead certain that Chelsea was going to get a penalty in our New Year's Day match, but we didn't. But now you got Anthony Taylor, a guy who personally apologized to Mourinho, is officiating this match. I think if Chelsea doesn't get a penalty kick, I'd be absolutely shocked.
Well, wasn't he the guy who sent off Matic over the weekend?
Was Anthony Taylor in charge of that match? I don't know. I didn't get to watch it.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, you'd look that up.
Yes, yeah, so I'm not saying that he's gonna be against Chelsea. If anything, I'm gonna say that he's gonna be doubly apologetic because as much fuss as Mourinho made over the red card, I could see them now, like you said, kind of feeling almost subconsciously sorry for him, and
because he did him wrong, yeah, by not sending off Ashley Barnes,
right? Which I'm trying to look that up.
Okay, you'll find it. So yeah, so Anthony Taylor, shocking decision. He would be one of the. I don't know. I mean, the referees have been pretty poor this year in general, but Anthony Taylor.
Oh, nope, that was Atkinson. Okay.
It's been very poor. Okay, so it wasn't Anthony Taylor. Okay.
Yeah, so take it back.
Well, that makes me feel a little better, but not really.
Refs are like a fraternity anyway, so you – and again, this is like we said on the pod on Sunday, that this is why managers like Mourinho do this, is that they – if nothing else, they plant the seeds of doubt in a ref's mind.
Mm-hmm. All right, so with that, all that said, we've covered everything, the history of the League Cup, the history of these teams. We talked about the lineups. We talked about the referee. So now it's time to make our prediction that the people can take to their friendly online bookies and make some straight cash.
All right, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay, I was going to say, since you're in the cup final, I was going to give you the honors, but I'll go. Okay, I think it's going to be as shocking as it may sound to some Spurs and Arsenal fans, I wouldn't begrudge Spurs if they won this match. However, I just think, you'd be a fool to bet against Mourinho in a cup final, Matic or no Matic. There's just too much class in Chelsea, and to a man, I think any reasonable Spurs fan would agree that they're just the better side, regardless of the 5-3 recent victory. So I'll go for 2-1 victory for Chelsea, but I'll say that there'll be controversy because there'll be a goal disallowed for either side.
Okay, yeah, that's probably likely.
Or goal disallowed meaning in controversial circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, two. But for the result, I'll go 2-1 Chelsea.
Okay, and no, you're right. I agree with you, and any Spurs fan would agree with you. It's obvious Chelsea is the much better side. They have more quality players. It shows. I mean, Hazard is ridiculous. I was looking on who scored today. Do you know that his average rating for the year, he's at an 8.0? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I said I didn't know it was that high, but yeah, that's because who scored tends don't they kind of score a little on the rough side?
Well, no. I think they might be a little high because it's all metric-based and okay, whatever their algorithm is. But still, an 8.0.
But that number's there. But that number's there because of statistical reasons. Then I'm more apt to believe that than, just knuckleheads at a paper, throwing out random numbers.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the beauty of who scored is it's all based on production and an algorithm. How they weight things obviously can be so. Yeah, he's an 8. But anyway, the bottom line is Chelsea's a much better side, and I think it works. You just mentioned the 5-3 loss Chelsea had at White Hart Lane on New Year's Day. That works against Spurs because we're not going to be able to sneak up on them.
Oh yeah,
just beat them.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to pull that a second time on Mourinho. You can guarantee that.
No. So it's going to be rough, and we're going to have our players, the Kang and Christian Eriksen, they're going to have to be on top of their game. And it's just too much to ask, I think, especially given the fact that we talked about Chelsea's coming off 8 days of rest. We just had to go to Italy. We didn't play particularly well, getting knocked out of Europe. But again, it is a one-off final, and so anything could happen. But as I said, Chelsea's kind of a bugaboo club for Spurs historically, and or not historically, but recently historically. And they're about the only club that I really, really fear, besides maybe playing, you know, Liverpool. That's a bad matchup for us, in Man City. So outside of Chelsea, Man City, and Liverpool, if we were playing anybody else, I'd feel pretty good about our chances. But this is it's just too much to ask for. And I think in the end, the quality of Chelsea and the experience of Chelsea will outsee Tottenham. But I know you can't, as I said, with a one-off, you can't count them out. But I will go with a 3-1 score line in Chelsea's favor. And that includes the penalty kick that they're going to get, which will more than likely be given up by Danny Rose. He'll probably do something absolutely retarded, taking somebody down in the box like he did last week. So that's how I see it. I hope I'm wrong, of course, because a cup win over Chelsea would be absolutely amazing. But I just don't see it with the quality and the manager that they have. I think Mourinho, knowing that he gave up 5 goals against Spurs last time, will play things a little bit tighter.
Oh yeah, yeah, that you can guarantee.
So I think he'll sit on the counter, and Chelsea will just be clinical in their finishing, how they usually are. So there we go. I guess we're both projecting Chelsea wins. You could bet on it. You probably won't make much money,
yeah,
but you could still bet on it.
Yeah, so that's my prediction, but the only thing I'll be rooting for in earnest, because I won't be necessarily pulling for either side, but I will be rooting for red cards.
That's cynical. Well, that's very cynical.
It is. It's two teams I don't like, so I just want to see, you know, I want to see controversy and drama and handbags and fricka and... and, you know, just madness.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, that's going to wrap that up. We're doing this special show here.
Chad's not impressed, people.
No. We'll be back on Sunday to talk about the League Cup final as well as anything else that happens over the weekend, with still a full slate of fixtures outside of Chelsea and Tottenham playing some league matches. So we'll talk about that. And I do believe that on Sunday as well, we will have a special announcement about a guest appearance Corey and I will be making somewhere else in the soccer media world.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if they know what they're getting themselves into.
So, yeah, once I get everything confirmed there, we'll announce that on Sunday. So we'll talk about that. So, hey, thank you for listening. We're both predicting Chelsea victories, but I hope I'm wrong. So, for Corey Chatelain, I'm Chad Smith saying, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you red cards.
This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at TwoDaftYanks.com or at TwoDaftYanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.